We begin the current Dav Masecht Baba Basa Dav Kuf Nun. We begin 18 lines down at the top of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues the related discussion regarding the halachas of Shchimra, which we're discussing regarding a dying person, and also regarding what do certain terminologies mean when the dying person says that these items, which we're discussing, what's considered metaltlim, what's considered karka. So the Gemara continues on that theme. When the dying person says this should go to that person, what is included in that definition? Says the Gemara, Omar. Pshita, it's obvious, Omar, if a dying person says, Metaltili leplanyet, my movable items should go to that person. Now, the same thing says Rashbam would apply if a healthy person would do the same thing through an actual kinyan, an acquisition. Now, so then the halacha is, Kol mani tashmish tekani, so that individual has acquired all utensils, vessels that have utility, that which are movable, that recipient has acquired it. Lavar mechiti vesari, except for wheat, for barley, which Rashbam says same thing would include animals, where they're not included in generic terminology of metaltlin. But if he said kol metaltli leplani, all my movable items go to that person, well then afil lechit v'sari, then it's all movable items, not just generally metaltli. It means someone's movable items, his cups, his bowls. Those are things that have, they're considered metaltli in contrast to wheat or barley or animals. But if he says all my movable items go to that person, then even wheat and barley, afil lechit besari, afil rechaim el yoinikon, and even the upper part of the mill, which although that's something that's usually permanent, but they would at least take off the upper part of the mill when they had to fix it. So it's considered a movable item, but lebar mi rechaim hatachtoin, except for the lower part of the mill, where even if when they would fix that part of the mill, they would keep it attached stationary on the ground, therefore that's not considered in parlance and in the people's lexicon as a movable item. But let's say he says, called the metaltil, anything, which that means to say anything that could be moved, anything that's a movable item, that could be movable, which is not literally attached to the ground, even though it's not something that's usually moved, then the halach is, then the recipient would acquire even the lower part of the millware, because although it's usually not moved, but it is a movable item, and therefore that would be acquired. Now, Ibailu, however, had the following question. Avda, regarding a slave, now, as Rashbam points out, although most definitely, in general terms, a slave has halacha like karka, like ground, like land, regarding the halachas of Einishboin al karkois, you don't take an oath regarding denial of land, same thing applies to an eved, same thing is regarding acquisition, which is land is kesef, shtar, and chazaka, same thing applies to an eved, because regarding biblical law, the halacha of avadma learned out from the halachas of karka, as when it describes a slave, it used the words v'esnachaltim, which nachla, the inheritance is a general term for karka. But what the Gemara's question is regarding the human terminology, when people say things, that's what usually goes into a halacha of mekech and memka, when there's a sale, it goes based on what people's expressions usually mean. In that regard, ask the Gemara, when someone is giving over a slave, is it kemekarka or kemetatla dummy? Is the slave called movable items? And therefore, when someone would be gifting away all his metatli to somebody, the slave would be included because he is, people usually consider a slave a movable thing, and therefore he would be included in the terminology metatli. Or not, do we say he's like karka? That Amalei Rav Acha Barid Rav Avil Rav Ashi says, Toshma, Tzving arrived from a mission that we had on Samaches and Aleph. Mishnah said, Hamoicher Seir, if someone sells a city, so what's included in the sale of the city? Machar Batim, the houses are included in the sale, Shechin Ma'aris, different types of pits, Umachatzais, and the bathhouse, the Beis Abadman, the olive press, Ubeis Hashlochen, and the Beis Hashlochen, Avaloyas and Metatlin, but not movable items, because the city means things that are permanent. Now, however, continues the Mishnah, but if he said, I'm selling the city and whatever is inside of it, then even if there were animals or slaves inside the city, everything would be included in the sale of the city. Says the Gemara. If you would say to explain our question that we had in regard to that Mishnah, that slaves are like movable items, that's why we would understand the halacha of the Reisha of the Mishnah, where it said that when someone sells a city, unspecified, and they didn't say the city and whatever's inside of it. So it was obvious in the halacha of the Mishnah that was only considered to be sold are things that are like karka, that are permanent things. But regarding slaves and movable items, they were not sold. So you would see from the Reisha of the Mishnah, because a slave has halacha like metatlin. But if you would entertain like we were asking that a slave would be like land, then why in the Reish of the Mishnah Are we saying that slaves are only included when you say hiva chamasha b'teicha, like the Sefer the Mishnah says? But if not, it wouldn't be included. But why? If a slave is like karka, and even when people say, I'm selling you stuff that are like karka, which is all these batim and the shichin and the mechatzais, so a slave should be included too. Obviously, because avdi kimetal lidam. And then the Gemara retorts back and says, wait, ve'elamai, so what do you want to prove from here? Kimetal lidami. That must be a slave has a halacha like a movable item. On that, as the Gemara, but then that would still be difficult. Because Maya Filo, then what would the words of the Sefer, the Mishnah, mean? It says that, oh, when someone says the city and whatever's inside of it, then you're going to be even including movable items. And the Mishnah goes so far as to say, oh, an even slave. Now, but if you say a slave is like a movable item, then why is the Mishnah saying even? It sounds like that it's not even similar to movable items. Why not? It's a movable item. So this is the Gemara's response back. So rather, what would you have to say? Why is the Mishnah differentiating the Sefer between movable items and avodim to say that even avodim would be included in the sale of whatever's inside of the city? Is because shana metatla denai. You would have to say that there's a difference between movable items that are mobile, which is what a slave is, metatla denai, and from movable items that are not mobile, they don't move around on their own. That's why the Mishnah would be teaching afilo, even. Meaning, okay, we're including even movable items in when we say hiva chamasha b'teicha, but not only movable items that at least are stationary, but even movable items that move on their own. So if so, says the Gemara, then you could say the same thing to explain the ratio of the Mishnah according to the other opinion. You could really say that regarding slaves, you could say that slaves have the halacha like land, and then the question was, if it's like land, then why isn't it including the sale of the city, even when you don't say hiva chamasha b'teicha, which at least includes all things that are like karka? Very simply, because shani, people differentiate, again, because it depends on how people call it, between mekarka denayid and mekarka delaynayid. They differentiate from land that moves and land that doesn't move. And since he's selling a city, which is, a city is land that doesn't move on its own, therefore the seller didn't entertain to sell land that moves, only land that doesn't move, which is similar to the city. And that is why, yes, if someone would say unspecified that I'm selling not a city but karka to that person, then says the Gemara, truthfully, they could tell you that the slaves would be included. And if he would say unspecified that my movable items are to that person, it would not be included. Here, the reason why it's not included in the city is because city is karka deloinayid, and therefore it's like specifying karka deloinayid in contrast to Eved, who is although karka, but would be karka denied. So that therefore there's no raya from this Mishnah that we could prove if Eved is kemekarka or kemetatli. So the Gemara continues, Omri Ravina Ravashi. Says Tashema, speaking of raya, and this is continuation, a theme of this Mishnah that keeps on coming up, the Mishnah Mesechta's Pei that we quoted on the previous stuff. The Mishnah says, HaKaisav La'avdi Kol Nochasav, someone writes all his assets to his slave. He says, I love you, you have no one else, I'm giving you everything I have. Says the Mishnah, Yatsa Mechar, it goes out of free man, because included in the assets are himself, and he gets all that, his master's money. But Shayer Karka Kosher, the Tanakhama says, Acham said that if however the master who wrote everything to the slave left over a small piece of land for himself, Lo Yotze Ben Chayr, the slave does not go out free. And the reason for that is because since Eved is like Karka, maybe the Karka that is holding on to is the slave, and therefore the Karka is not going to go free. The slave is not going to go free. Whereas Rav Shimon, he disagrees. He says, No, Lo Yotze Ben Chayr. No, the Eved is going to go free because he's not a piece of land. Although he might have a lochalik land, but he's not a piece of land, and therefore he goes free. Until if the master would say, yes, I'm giving everything I have to that person, that my slave, except for 1/10,000th of what I have, which that could be referring to the slave, and therefore it's like it's a joke because he's giving him everything, but it's holding on to him as a slave, and whatever the slave gets goes to the master, so he really wouldn't be giving him anything. It would just be a very flattering way of saying, I love you, but I'm not giving anything. Now, the Amr of Dimi Bar Yosef Amr Belaza, he had explained in the opinion of the Tanakhama that Asu Metaltlin Shir Eitzel Eved, that they additionally, just like regarding the halacha of the Tanakhama, when he says that Shire Karko Kalshu, when if the master left over a small piece of land that he was not giving to the slave, he said that Lo Yotz Lecheris does not go out free. Same thing applies if the master held on to a small amount of movable items, he's also not going to go free. Not only by karka, but also metatli. That's where metatli would be the same like karka. But v'le'osu metatli and shir itzel ksuba, regarding a different halacha, that of ksuba, which is if the father is splitting up the inheritance amongst all his sons, and he gives some small token to the wife, So the halacha is that then the wife loses her rights to her ksuba, because she really took that, what was being given to her as part of the inheritance. But that is only something that applies to if she got a piece of karka. But they did not make metatlin a shear, a remnant regarding the ksuba. Now, v'amalei Rav Rav Nachman my time. Rav said to Rav Nachman, what's the reason? And Rav Nachman responded, because avda metatlahu, a slave is a movable item. And a movable item to another movable item is considered something that's being left over. In other words, since the master held on to metatlin for himself, so you could say that it's the slave himself that whose metatlin that he held on to, and therefore didn't go out to freedom. Whereas ksubas isha mekarkahu, in contrast, the ksuba of a woman is her total reliance for collecting ksuba is from a piece of land. And therefore, if he then gives her a piece of land when he's dividing it up amongst all his sons, and he includes his wife, so she's taking that instead of the ksuba. But a metatlin lemekarka lavashir. But movable items in regards to karka would not be considered a shir, and therefore it's not considered like he gave her something instead of the ksuba, and she would still be able to collect her ksuba. But one thing that we see from this halacha is that we're equating a slave like metatlin. And that's why, if the according to the Tanna Kamma, if the master gave everything to the slave but held on to even a bowl, something that's a movable item, he didn't say what it was. It says, he's saying, I'm holding on to metatlin. We say that could refer to the evidence. They see, abdik metatlin. So on that, the Gemara continues on the base and answers that no. Omalei, Ravashi said to Ravina, truthfully, I can tell you that a slave would have aloha like karka. I mean, again, in regards to when someone says, I'm giving you my karka, or my matatlin, what would be included, would ever be included in the karka matatlin? Says the Gemara, I could tell you that, not like you tried to prove that Eved is like a matatlin. I could tell you that Eved has a halacha like karka. Now, there, the halacha is, which was seemingly was a proof, we said that, but they made matatlin shir eitzel Eved. How could it be? And that's what Rav Nachman had explained. He says, well, obviously, because Eved is matatlin, and you're holding on to a piece of matatlin, so therefore, it could be what you're holding on to is the slave itself. On that, says Rav Ashi, no. That halacha would not necessarily prove abdik metatlin dami. So then what would be the understanding? So he says, anan, us, mishum delav kreis gita masneinla. We learned that halacha, not based on because an eved's metatlin and you held on to metatlin, so maybe holding on to the eved. No, it's because it's not going to be a proper execution of a get shecher. Now, the reason for that is because in this process, you have to be able to emancipate the slave. Because, again, if he's still a slave, then you could have given him everything. It doesn't make a difference. Whatever the slave gets goes back to the master. Now, the halachas of Eved are learned out from Gzeir Shava of law love from the woman, halachas of a woman, which tells us that just like a woman needs to get creases, a document of severance totally separating her from her husband, because if she's still connected in the get, it's not a valid get. So the same halacha applies to a slave. Now, since in this document, the master of the slave held on to some rights in this document, because whatever it is, and that's what the halacha Rabbi Elazar was, whether he was holding on to a piece of land or a piece of metatlin, it's not because the Eved is the metatlin. No, nothing to do with that. Maybe Eved is like karka. So how does holding on to metatlin prevent the slave from going free and getting everything else? It's because the acquisition of the document, which is what's giving him everything, including himself, in that document, the master himself is holding on to some rights, meaning part of that document is giving something to the master. That's not considered a get creases. It's not a valid document of severance, and if he's never emancipated, even if he should be going free because the document is not a valid document. And that is why he's not going to get anything in that case. But not because he's like a matatlin. Maybe he is kimikarka. It's just because the master is holding on to some rights in the document. So there was no proof regarding if Eved is like mekarka or kimatatlin. Another halacha of Amr Av Amr Av Nachman. He says, regarding what we have been mentioning up until now, he says, Chamisha, there are five different types of those who give gifts, that their halachas are not going to be differentiated from when they give partial, ad sheyichtivu kol nechseim, until they write away all their properties. Only when they give away everything, then their halacha is going to change from when they hold on to part of it. In other words, and it would have to be that he didn't hold on to anything, even metatlin, as the Gemara will conclude at the end, which the only exception is ksubas isha, where there, as we mentioned in passing before, that only karka would be a shir and not metatlin. Ve'lohin, and these are the five that to change from partial gifts would have to be a total gift and not holding on to anything. They are shchimra, as the Gemara will explain all of them, a dying person, abda, his slave, ishta, his wife, uvan of his sons, and mavrachas, which is a woman that is trying to chase away her properties from her new husband. As the Gemara now explains these five. And all these, we had explained these Mishnayis in this parak and parak Yishnaichlin, except for the halacha of Mavrachas, which we're going to explain shortly. Shchimra ditnan, what's the halacha of a dying person? As we learned in the Mishnah Kof Mimvav Mem Beis, the Mishnah had said, Shchimra shekostav kol nochas b'lachem, a dying person who wrote away all his assets, all his properties to other people. B'shayir karku kolshu, but he held on to one small piece of land, then matnasa kiyemes. Then it's going to be a valid gift, even if he survives. Loishayir karku kolshu, if he didn't leave over anything for himself, even a small piece of land. Again, that's the element over here, where the Lord changes, only if he gave everything away, didn't leave over any shear for himself, then a matnasa kiyemes, then it's considered a matnas shchimra, which is that if then he survives, then the gift is not valid, and he gets it all back. Avda ditnan. The concept of regarding his slave, this is again that same Mishnah Masechtas Peah that we quoted before. Hakaisav konachasav la'avdei. If someone wrote away all his properties to his slave, so then yotze mecharin, he left nothing for himself, then his slave goes free. But shayir karku kolshu, and again, this is the element. What changes in halacha is always everything, or if you left over something, it's the same as no matter how much you leave over. If you leave over even a small piece of land that you were not giving to the slave, then lo yotze mecharin, then he does not go free. The third one is Ishta, his wife. Dam Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, as we referenced this halacha before, Hakoytsav konachasav l'ishta. Actually, we did not reference this. I don't know why I couldn't just say that, but I might as well stop. Ishta, the third one is regarding his wife. Dam Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, said, Hakoytsav konachasav l'ishta. If someone writes over all his properties to his wife, so the halacha is actually, although the inheritance, according to biblical law, goes to his sons, but he could choose who he wants to write it over to, and it will go to that person. But that halacha, if he writes it to his wife, then it's actually not going to go to his wife. And that's only because he wants the kids to honor his wife, so he's really making her a caretaker. That halacha is only if he gave everything to his wife. If he didn't, then that would be an obvious sign that he's actually giving it to his wife, and the rest is regarding the laws of inheritance. Again, that's the all or nothing thing in the sense of you have to have not left over anything. If he gave everything to his wife, then he's not really giving it to her. He's just making her a caretaker for the kids who are really inheriting. Banav ditznan. Regards to one's sons, we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Peah that says, a case of kol nechasav lebanav. Someone writes away all his properties to his sons. Now, in regards to that halacha, again, it's only if he's writing all of it to his sons. Now, but however, when he was giving it all the way to his sons, he wrote over a small piece of land that he's giving to his wife, then of the ksubas. It's only then that she loses the rights for the ksuba, which we had referenced as halacha earlier, which we said that halacha only applies regarding karka, not regarding metatlin. But what's important in this halacha is, if he actually left over a small piece of land that he was not giving to his sons, even if he would have given his wife a small piece of land, she would not have lost her ksuba. And the reason for that is because since she would rely on saying, wait a second, I know he left over something that he didn't give to the sons, obviously it's for my ksuba, then even if it turns out that that's not enough sufficient for her ksuba, she's going to say, okay, I'm relying on the rest of the nechasim, as the Gemara explains this in Perek Yesh Neichlin, Naf Kuf Lam Gim Lam Aleph. So therefore, this halacha is also that she loses because she's like, she realizes everything is given away and she was given a small piece of land, she must have agreed to it. That's only if he gave it all away. If he left over a small piece of land for himself, that's not going to be considered that he gave it all the way to the banim, and then she would not lose her ksuba. And the fifth halach is mavrachas. What this is talking about is regarding a woman that was widowed who has assets, and she wants to get remarried. Now, she wants, however, to chase away her properties from her new husband, that he should not merit in all her properties, which would be the halacha when a woman gets married to a man. Now, which would happen then if she would get widowed from him or get divorced from him, she wants to make sure her properties go back to herself. Now, the problem is if she would not give it away before she'd get remarried, then her new husband would merit in it. So the Gemara Masechta Ksuba says, the Amamar, the master says, Mavrachas tzricha shetichtav kol nechseha. The one who was giving it away didn't really want to give it away to someone else, just as a way of avoiding the new husband of getting all her properties. It had to have been that she wrote away all her properties to this other person, unspecified, whereas since she didn't leave over anything for herself, so we could testify that she only gave it to this other person because she wanted to get remarried, but she wanted, if she would ever, a year or two later, sometimes the marriage won't work out, that the asset should be given back to her. But that's where this halacha is important. If she would have left over anything for herself, then the one who is the recipient of the gift would have acquired it and would never have to have given these properties back to the woman, even if 2 weeks later she'd get divorced or widowed from that new husband. Now, says the Gemara Bukulu, regarding all these five cases of those who are giving away a gift, this that we said the halacha is that if it's everything, then it's we take granted this unique halacha. But if some of it was left over, then we say that you don't have these unique halachas of these five cases. It's from mitaltali havashir. It's regarding that if, let's say, what was left over wasn't a total gift, but actually some movable items were left over, would have the same halacha as if land was left over. Labar, Miksuba, as we mentioned before, except for the case of the Ksuba, when he wrote away all of his properties to his sons, and he left over a little something for his wife, there it's the Amakarkoi Takin Rabbana, the whole Takin Rabbana of Ksuba was a reliance on the husband's land. So it's regarding land that if he gives her a piece of land, so you say, oh, you're taking that instead of the Ksuba. But Mimitatli later talking Rabbanan. But from movable items, Rabbanan never instituted the reliance of the woman of Ksuba Amitatlan. So therefore, it's regarding that that we didn't say this halacha of the woman losing her Ksuba. Now, however, Amimama, he says, but Mitatli dechsiva b'Ksuba, but regarding movable items that are written in the Ksuba, ve'isnu banayu, and they're even around, they're still around, that actually, says a Amimama, havashir. That would be considered something that was left over. Because the reason is, a woman collects her ksuba from those metatlin, as Rashbam's Girsa has, that Amimer himself is the one who says this is in ksubas nun heimat aleph, that if regarding these movable items that are still around, she actually collects them without a shvua, and therefore, if that was what was left over, she actually would lose her ksuba based on that. It wouldn't be only regarding karka, it would also be these metatlin that are written in the ksuba, which Rashbam says according to his Girsa, you could say that this is a Amimer according to his opinion, because there's a Amimer over here who's saying the same halacha, which is that these metatlin written in Ksuba would have the same halacha as the karka, which would be the same halacha that if he's giving everything away to the sons and gave something to his wife, that these metatlin would be the same thing as those karka, which you're accepting this as the equivalent of your Ksuba. They are considered a shir in regards to if he's giving everything away and leaving over a small piece for his wife. Now the Gemara continues on this theme, regarding when someone is giving something away, what's included in that terminology? So Omar, nichsi leplanya. If a dying person says that my nechasim, my possessions should go to that person, which this is regarding a dying person again who's saying that either my nechasim go to that person or it could even be talking about a healthy person who is doing a kinyan sudur, is having someone acquire through the halacha of chalipin, and says that my nechasim should go to that person. And the Gemara is coming to explain what's considered possessions, what's considered someone's money, which the same thing would apply in any other language or whatever refers to money, then you would have the same halacha of nichsi leplaini, what would be included in nichsa, in my money, in my possessions. So and that says the Gemara, avdi ikri nichsi. Slaves are called nichsi, possessions, just like gold and silver, and therefore he would be included in the gift when he says all my possessions should go to that person. How do we know? This does not. Again, that same Mishnah Masechet Peah that says, "Akosav kol nechasav la'avdo." If someone writes all his possessions, the word nechasim, to his slave, we said yotzei mecharin, he goes out free. Which we said, obviously, including that is the slave himself, or else he wouldn't get anything. So obviously, the slave is called nechse. Says the Gemara further, "Ari ikun nechse." Land is called possessions. How do we know that? It's none. Like we learn the Mishnah Masechet Kedushin. Mishnah says nechasim sheyesh lehen achrayis, regarding properties that have responsibility with them. Meaning, that refers to land, where the reliance of every loan and debt in Ksuba relies on the debtor's land. And the reason for that is because you know you can rely on that, because unlike movable items, you can never lose it, and neither could it get burnt up. Its land will always be there geographically. So, says the Mishnah, that regarding land, Niknim b'kesef u'b'shtar v'chazaka. Land can be acquired through a document, or through money, or through by taking possession. But one thing you see from this Mishnah is that it refers to land as nechasim to have achrayis. So you see that land is called nechse. Moreover, glima ikri nechse. Cloak, clothing is called nechse. How do we know this? Not like we learned over in the Mishnah Sechtes Kedushin, where that was first talking about what's the kinyan in land, which is called nechasim shesh l'nachrayis. Continues the Mishnah over there, b'she'en l'nachrayis, and regarding metatlin, movable items that don't have responsibility to them. You can't rely. You can't be so assured on it, because it could get lost, get burnt. Ein niknin ela b'mashicha. So that's the term we give for metatlin. So movable items could only be acquired by drawing it. Now, as Rashbam explains, that this part of the Mishnah was going back on the Reisha, which it was talking about nechasim. In other words, it's as if the Mishnah is saying that nechasim she'ein lehem achrayis, regarding movable items which are nichse, the don't have responsibility that they're acquired through Mashiach. Again, so you see that movable items like a cloak is also called nichse. Continues the Gemara, zuzikui nichse. And money is called nichse. And therefore also included when he says nichse l'plaini, money is included too. That now, like we learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Kedushin, that the Mishnah there continues and says, so we know the kinyan of nechasim sheyesh lehen mechayis, of karka. We know of nechasim she'en le mechayis, of metal. Continues the Mishnah, says, v'she'en le mechayis. Now, however, what you could actually do is you could actually ride one kinyan on top of another. Which means to say that metatlin, which have no achrayas, could be nikn im nechasim sheyesh lemechayis. You could acquire the metatlin by making a kinyan on karka with bekesav shtar v'chazaka, which is if someone's selling to somebody else or he's giving to his friend two things, metatlin and karka. Once the recipient does a chazaka on the karka, he automatically, without doing a separate kinyan, will acquire the metatlin. Now says the Gemara ki hadir apapa. In other words, now how do we know that when it says there in that Mishnah that nechasim she'en lehem achrayis are acquired with the karka nechasim she'en lehem achrayis, that's referring even to monies, because money could also be lost, it's also metatlin. How do we know that it's, when the term is used in there in the Mishnah of nechasim, of that don't have achrayis, can be acquired with karka, that includes also money could be acquired through the acquisition of the karka? And the reason why we would entertain that money is different is because you know money, for example, cannot be acquired with chalipin. So how would we know that money would be included in that halacha of being acquired through karka? And that's what the Gemara addressed and says, because like this halacha of Rapapa, that havalei treisa alfei zuzi bechazoi, he had 12,000 zuzi coins in bechazoi, this place. Now, he wasn't able to go ahead and make his collection. So akninu nehalei l'Rav Shmuel bar Acha. So he was makne it, he gave it over through a kinyan to Rav Shmuel bar Acha, who was going over there, and he did that through a kinyan of sudur. He was makne it to him through this transaction of doing an exchange of a kerchief. Now, how did he do that? Agav asifa de beisi. He was makne it to him, the threshold, a piece of land, the threshold of his house, by the doorstep. How was he marking them that piece of land? Through giving him a sudr. Now, through that he acquired that piece of land, he was able to be marking them to the money that he had all the way over there through this medium of harsho, which gives him the right to collect the money for him. Which, as the Gemara explains, this concept of Baba Kamad of Ayn Mat Aleph of harsho. Or, what Rav Shmuel Bar Acha did, he went and he did a chazakah on the piece of land, and he was marking them through that the money wherever they are. But one thing you see is that obviously money are called nichse because it's only nechasim she'en l'machrayis that can be acquired with nechasim she'esh l'machrayis. So if he went and did this kinyan of agav with money, obviously because money is considered nechasim nichse she'en l'machrayis. Now the Gemara concludes ki asa when Rav Shmuel Bar Acha came back to Rav Papa, nafig la'ape atavach, Rav Papa went all the way till Tavach to greet him, which is either the name of a place, or it actually means he met him halfway on the entire road of the journey that he was coming back. Continues the Gemara, shtari ikri nichse. Documents are called possessions. How do we know this? The Amar Rabbi Bar Yitzchak, he said the following halach. He said, shnei shtarisen. There's two different types of documents. For example, in regards to a specific halacha, Amar, let's say a person says, zachu besadezeh, he tells people, I want you to merit in this field. And the way he did it was he was makna to them, to these people, these mediums, through a sudr. For the purposes of Laplani, for that person, I want to give this person this field, I want to give it to him right now, but he's not around. You go and receive for him. How so? I'll give you the sudr, that's a kinyan of chalipin, and thereby you'll acquire that field for that person. Moreover, the chisvuloy seshtar, I want you to write a document for him that he owns this field that I was makna to. So the law is, chayzi b'shtar, the giver could reverse himself, he could change his mind regarding the document. In other words, regarding this upper hand that the recipient he wanted to give it to, of having a document, that the giver could back out, because as long as the document wasn't given over to that person, it's not his, he could back out. But the giver cannot back out anymore from the gift of the field itself, because once those mediums, those shluchim, already merited by either a kinyan or a chazaka, so the halacha is zachal al mishle b'fon, they already merited for that recipient, it's already his, he can't back out anymore. But if let's say he said, I want you to merit for this person this field, and he didn't just say and write him a document, and he said, I want you to merit from this field on the condition that you also write from a document. Oh, so then the halacha is, then he could back out, not only from the document, but even from the field itself. Because up until the document was written, the gift was not completed because it was stipulated based on writing the document. So until the document is written, he could still go ahead and back out from the gift of the field itself. That was two different types of documents that he was discussing. Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar Rav Huna, he says actually shleisha shtarasin. There's actually three different types of documents, which Rashbam says he's not coming to argue, he's just coming to add on another case. Trei is Hanid Amar, and two other cases that we described. Idach, the third one is as follows. If the seller went beforehand, before the sale, he went and wrote a shtar mechira, a document of a sale, because he wanted to have a document ready for when the consumer comes, because at any point in time, he wants to be able to sell his field. He doesn't want to have that he won't be able to take the money and give the field right away, because they're going to have to delay for the writing of the document. So he went beforehand and had a document of the sale written up. Now, the reason why he could do this is, you're usually not allowed to write a document before the process is about to happen, because that could be a shtar muktam. But the reason why you could do this is like that which we learned in the Mishnah later on, as we continue to talk about Kofnun Aleph and Aleph, that says, you're allowed to write a document for a seller, even though the consumer is not even with him. And the reason why is because it's only a liability for the seller. Because what could happen is that he could lose out from an earlier time, or it could get lost, and it could seem like he had already sold to him when he never did. But since he's agreeable, so he's allowed it, we could write it for him. Now, Rav Huna now concludes his idea. And that is, if the seller went and wrote this document, and then only later did he go ahead, let's say a week later, went and sold this field to somebody. So, kivin shehichzik zeh bekarka. So at that point in time, when the consumer goes and takes possession of the field itself, nik nishtar kol mokom shehu. So that document will be acquired to the consumer wherever it is at that time. In other words, that no one could stop him from getting the document, because it was with that intention that he was selling him the field, that the lekeach should be zeicha, not only in the field, but also a document that was written for his purposes of this sale. So when he takes chazaka of the field, so that the document was automatically acquired to him. Which, that's what we learned in the Mishnah, v'zui shashanina, this is what the Mishnah Kedushin said, nechasim she'ein lamachrayis, regarding movable items, which is what a shtar is, it's a movable item that could get lost, could get burnt, are niknim im manachasim she'esh lamachrayis, could be acquired automatically with the kinyan that you do on the karka itself, which is bekesef, a b'shtar or chazaka, with either money, the sale of the karka could be, or a document, or a chazaka. So, but one thing you see from this Mishnah, is that the document will be acquired through the kinyan of the karka itself. But moreover is that you see that the Mishnah is describing a document as nechasim she'ein lamachrayis. But the primary reason that we want for it is not that it's just nechasim she'ein lamachrayis, is that they're called nichse, and therefore when someone says nichse l'plaini, including that besides that whole list that we discussed, is also the case of a document.